This morning, Tim and Dina Strumsted, who founded a children's home in Guatemala and Costa Rica, will be sharing.
It is so good to be with you all. You have no idea. It's like coming home, and as we walk into this family of believers, this family of faith, it's like God is moving. He's moving in the Congo. He's moving in Costa Rica. He's moving in Guatemala. He's moving in our midst today. And all I can say is I'm excited. There's a lot that has happened just from the beginning of this service to right now. Worthy is the Lamb, seeing what God's doing in Congo, to get excited and say, God, you are good. And it is you that we serve. Just want to say thank you on the very front side. Thank you for being a church that knows us and loves us, comes alongside of us, comes to us, prays for us, gives to us, and embraces us when we come home. Just want to say thank you. Right on the front side. Let's pray to begin. Father God, thank you so much for today. We rejoice. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, God, that your character does not change. Unto you, O Lord, only unto you, unto your name be glory, because of your unfailing love and faithfulness. Spirit of God, would you just blow in this place today? Would you encourage our hearts? May our ears be open to hear what the Spirit is saying. May our hearts be open to respond to what the Spirit of God is saying. And I just thank you that you are here. We invite you. Blow in this place. Amen. I love God's truth that his character never changes. The character of God does not ever change. And the God that we read about in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and even unto today, that God is stable. In a world that moves and changes and evolves, God is the constant. And I would like to read just a little bit or begin a little bit in Genesis 16. It's about Hagar. Hagar was the servant of Sarah. And when Sarah got impatient, said to Abraham, sleep with my slave. So Abraham was with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarah with contempt. So Sarah said to Abraham, this is your fault. I will put my servant into your arms, and now she's pregnant. She treats me with contempt. Abraham replied, look, she is your servant, so deal with her as you see fit. And Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The angel of the Lord, this is in Genesis 16:7, says, the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside the spring of water in the wilderness. The angel said to her, Hagar, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, she says. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. So I was reading that one of these days, I was drawn to that. First of all, the angel of the Lord found Hagar. There are a lot of times in our lives where I think we feel like we are outside of the radar, maybe of people and maybe even of God. But when Hagar was there, running away from her mistress, running away from harshness, running away from a difficult place, it says the angel of the Lord found her. That is the character of our God. He's a God that looks for us and finds us. And then he asked her questions that he already knew that she had to respond to. And what does he say then? Return to your mistress and submit to her authority. And as I began to think about Hagar, I thought, you know what? She did not have voice or vote in any of those decisions. She was the servant of Sarah. She had to go. She didn't have a choice. And look what happened to her. Look at the difficult situation she found herself in. As it goes on further, it says down here in 18, it says, so Hagar went back. And then she said, you are the God who sees me. That name of God, that character of God, God is the God who saw her. And God is the God who sees me. And God is the God who sees you. A lot of the children that we have opportunity to love, form, walk alongside are victims of their circumstances, just like Hagar was. They are in a place where maybe they feel like they're off a radar. But you know what? God is the God who sees them. He knows. He knows exactly their name. He knows exactly their situation. He knows where they have come from. And just like Hagar, when later on she was sent away in the end, she finds herself in the desert once again, and her son is dying. She has no water, and she puts him under a tree, and she goes far away. And that angel comes to her again and says, Hagar, don't you remember? I'm the God who sees you. I am the God who knows about you. Your son will have many descendants. And how true that is today. He cares. He's the God who sees you. There are two young women that God saw from Guatemala. One of them's name is Lucy, and I'm focusing on them because these are two young women that Resurrection Free has had great opportunity over all of the years in your support and prayers for them. They are women that know Jesus today. Lucy is 27, almost 28. We had the opportunity to see her and her husband and three children in April. God took her from a little girl that was put in a pig pen because she cried a lot and her dad didn't know what to do with her or couldn't handle her crying, put her in a pig pen, and some neighbor said, she can't be there, and brought her to Hogar de Vida, Guatemala. And Resurrection Free was part of Lucy's life her whole time that she was in Guatemala. And I just want to say thank you. On behalf of Lucy and her husband and her three children, her second daughter is a miracle of God. She should have died early on in her years. And Lucy said to me, but I prayed that God would heal her. And today she still has some developmental difficulties. But that is a testimony to the God who saw Lucy in that pig pen. And today is a mom that can say, I believe in the God that I heard about through my years at Hogar de Vida. Blanca is another one that currently you guys are a part of. Phenomenal woman of God. She turned 18 and the favor of God was all over her. There was a family there in San Andres that said, we would like Blanca to help care for an elderly woman in our home and some children. And so they invited Blanca into their family. They're a family that cares for her, loves her, protects her, provides for her through her work. And every time Blanca has an opportunity to come back to San Andres, she puts her feet in the ground in the children's home, and she begins to serve. She begins to come alongside. What can I do? What can I do to help you? And every single time that I see her in Guatemala, with tears, she says, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being my family. She's a true orphan. She has no parents. And you guys are part of that. So on behalf of Blanca, thank you. She is studying psychology today. She's in the process of getting her psychology degree. She will be a phenomenal psychologist simply because she lived through so much, and she'll have a heart of empathy and understand what a lot of the children go through. God is a God who sees. There is nobody off of his radar. And God is a God, not a respecter of persons, and sees us today. Sees you today. Whatever it is, the difficulty that you might be walking in, whatever is the mountain that you might be facing, whatever is the victory that you're celebrating, because God doesn't only see us in the difficult times, God sees us in the glorious times, in the victory times, and when those come, you just say, God, you are worthy. It's because of who you are. Thank you for taking us and depositing in us your glory. Our roles have changed since we saw you last. God has brought us out of the everyday part of functioning in both homes, Hogar de Vida in Guatemala and in Costa Rica. And he's brought us into a place of coming alongside, accompanying, I could see it, could have said that word easier in Spanish. Anyway, and it's basically as Moses, when he needed Aaron and Hur to lift up his arms, that's who we are today. God has gifted us with a phenomenal team in Guatemala and a phenomenal team in Costa Rica. And so we get the opportunity to just come up alongside of them and say, how can we serve you? How can we help you? How can we be wind in your sails? How can we walk together in this new season? So in this 3 months of gift that God has given us, we will be specifically raising funds for Guatemala, the home there. There is less opportunity for just financial sustenance in Guatemala. So Tim and I, in these 3 months, will be doing quite a bit of traveling to just to cast vision. God is our provider, always has been, is, and will continue to be. But sometimes we are the face of Guatemala right now, and God has given us opportunity to cast vision in lots of different places. So that's a way that you can pray for us as we go forth from here, of God's protection as we drive, and that God would, the Spirit of God would just go before us, and He would stir up hearts, and they will respond as the Spirit of God leads. There's a little card in the back. You all know us. So it's basically just to say thank you once again. It says, pray for us. I know Resurrection prays for us. Thank you. I see our names in the bulletin. Thank you for lifting us up and remembering us and all the rest. So thanks again for being a part of us. And remember, God sees you. God sees you. You are not off His radar.
She's a tough one to follow. I'm in Romans 12. I want to share a little bit. My little title that I have is called Doing. And I'm kind of probably preaching to the choir here because you guys are doers. But I'm just wanting to encourage you a little bit with the word and a couple testimonies and of what's happening. Romans 12, 6 through 8. It says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. The first one. So if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. I just want to highlight that one because I think a lot of people might just go over that. Well, that's for bigger people and a prophecy thing, and that doesn't apply to me. I just want to share a little bit. I don't know how many of you saw our latest newsletter, but there's some good stuff that just came out in it. It was pretty cool. It was about Guatemala. Right at the end, we had put this together, plugged in a little paragraph about Sebastian getting his hip replacement. Now, here in this country, it's kind of covered by insurance, and it's kind of like a normal thing, and you can get it done. A lot of people have that done. In Guatemala, it's not like that, and I remember we were promoting that last time we were here and raising some funds for his surgery, not knowing how in the world we're going to do this, not even knowing if we could do it in Guatemala. I was actually, my faith was to try to get him a visa and try to find doctors to get it donated here in country. And so we were just kind of out there just praying and not knowing how God was going to work. The cool thing was there was a team that came from Wisconsin. You guys ever pray? Do some praying for people? Have them up front, pray for them. It's a good thing. How many of you, when you're praying sometimes and you get a thought and you want to pray specifically for something. I just want to encourage you guys to continue to do that, because the Lord shows up in those prayer times. You might not know it. You might not even realize it. But at the time when you're praying, all of a sudden you might be, I got to share something, or just speak some blessing, or just speaking stuff out. That's what I'm seeing here in this word about prophesying. Take that step. Pray. Speak over. Speak blessing. That's what happened to Sebastian. He and his wife Aurelia were being prayed for by the team. And the team just gathered around them and they started praying. And there was the team leaders, they're powerful people here from God. And there was a young lady, Erica. She was praying, and this is the words that came out of her mouth. And she goes, you know, I sense God is saying that you've been praying and wondering if God hears your prayers. She's saying to Sebastian, and this is exactly what he was doing. He was praying for some huge things, one being a hip surgery that in Guatemalan and in their society wasn't going to happen. Okay, it was right up there in impossible. And he was praying for that, and then he was getting a little bit depressed, thinking, God's not hearing my prayers. So this gal, not knowing his life or anything that's going on in his life, said, the Lord is saying that he is hearing your prayers, and that the Lord is going to be going before you and arranging a great doctor to do your surgery, for your hip surgery. Okay, and he remembers that because I asked him to send it back to me, and he gave me a voice email and shared exactly what that was. And then they prayed, and then they left. And he continued to go forth. His hip was hurting. I mean, I would watch him, and I didn't realize this, but one of the times he was sharing his testimony with the team, and he said there was times where he said the pain was just so constant and never leaving that he had contemplated just ending it, just dying, killing himself. And I just went, what? And this is a real thing. It's a huge thing in his life, this whole hip surgery. And I didn't realize the depth of his pain until I heard him say that, and I'm like, wow. And so then I pay more attention to him as he's walking, and it's a really bad limp, and then when he would sit down, and then when he would grimace, and I was just like, oh. And I was just, as the story goes, he was with his wife, with one of the children that needed to go to the doctor for something, and he did that, and his pain was so bad, and his wife said, why don't you just go up to there and just ask if they can be looked at the, you know, the free medical, you know, at the hospital. And he did. And it was another God thing. And normally they would set you up for an appointment, and, you know, and it would be a long time down the road, but there was somebody that was open right then. Anyway, he went in, they did an x-ray, and they got him on some pain meds, you know, or ordered some medication and different things. But he got that x-ray, which was vital, because then he continued to pray, and then another missionary had a friend that was a dentist that knew the guy that does surgeries. Anyway, long story short, the Lord opened the doors to get to one of the best people that does surgeries in Guatemala. This dentist had a relative that had been to this doctor and had a knee replacement and a hip replacement. A wealthy Guatemalan that cost $250,000. Okay? Not quetzales, dollars. Can anybody say a quarter of $1 million? Okay, so that's what this guy does. So the surgery and then they found out that basically Sebastian, what he figured was in the birth canal, his hip was broken. And so it never developed correctly. And his leg was literally 2 or 3 or 4 inches short. I should probably get these details correct someday. But It was a lot shorter. The doctor, so he got an appointment with this doctor, and he came in there, and how Sebastian tells me it was like he was in a, almost, it was just a spiritual experience. It was almost like he was in a cloud, because he was so full of joy, and this guy that is not a Christian was saying, he goes, man, and he tells him this, that's where they got the revelation that he probably had that hip broken, because he could read all the x-rays, and they took their own x-rays, and they did an MRI. This was all before he was even approved or anything. They just put up a lot of money into him right off the bat, and they said, this guy said, you know, this is why I'm here. I'm here for you. And he goes, you know what, I'm going to help you, and we're going to get you fine. Anyway, then it went silent for about 6 months. And we were just praying, and I said, you know, I encouraged him. I said, well, just reach out to him and contact that other doctor and let him follow up on it. And so anyway, the guy opened the doors back up again, and he just got his surgery. What was it, last Friday? A week? Now it's been a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And they called him in. He went in. He got the surgery. Right now, the pain he has is in the bone, because they had to, they cut it and they put this prosthetic thing or whatever you call it. And he's got pain in his bone where the connection was, but it's going away. But one of the coolest things was his son, his oldest son that works with us, Luis, was just going, this is unbelievable. It's not even, this isn't happening. I mean, it's happening. This is a miracle. So I can't encourage you guys enough. This young lady was praying and just said, you know, I'm seeing that the Lord is saying, he's hearing your prayers. And the Lord is saying he's answering your prayers, and he's going to give you the best doctor. And I can just say, that happened. That happened. Okay? So, what am I sharing with you guys? And you guys are doing it. But I just want to encourage you. Prophesy. Speak. He says speak. Pray. Serve. Teach. Encourage. Give generously. Lead seriously. Take your responsibilities seriously. Kindness, be kind. And the other scripture I just love, and we go over this one pretty quickly too. I could talk for a long time on all those. In Micah 6, chapter 6, it's like God is saying, don't you remember what I've done? And I got you out, and how I got you out of slavery, and in verse 5, don't you remember my people, how King Balak and Moab tried and cursed you, and how Balaam blessed you? You remember the journey? And the Lord, I did everything I could to teach you about my faithfulness. What can you bring to the Lord? What can we do? Sometimes we want to try to do stuff in our own. And they said, what kind of offerings can we give him? Should we bow before God with offerings and bring him calves and sacrifices? Could we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? I mean, that's a lot of olive oil. Or in other words, we can't possibly give to God in the flesh. Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? He says, no. O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. To do what's right. Sometimes we don't do that. He says, do the right thing. To love mercy, When I think of mercy, I think of it's getting something. We should be punished. But mercy is, you deserve punishment, but I'm going to let you go. I'm letting it go. How often does people do something to us and they deserve punishment? Do we give out mercy? So he wants us, this is what he requires of us, to love mercy. We love receiving mercy. How about giving it? And walk humbly with our God. And I want to close with walking humbly with our God. And I just want to throw this out there. It's just a thing to meditate on. This is something I meditated on. I was reflecting on in 2010, the Lord gave us our first sabbatical that we ever took for a year and came to the States and we're preparing the kids to go, in, the boys to go into college and never lived in the States. And so 2010 was kind of a help for them and a little break from being on for 22 years straight. Anyway, in 2011 we went back and I don't know when this happened, but I was just kind of meditating and praying, and I just said, Lord, what was 2010 all about? What was the takeaway? I mean, I know, you know, we're helping the kids and this and that, but was there something something else that you want to share with me, you know? And I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, it's about learning to follow me. You're learning to follow me. And I'm going, you know, for a second you go, well, I think I've been doing that for 20 some 30 years or whatever, in 88. But I didn't do that. I was like, okay, learning to follow you. Talk to me, Lord. I mean, what are you saying? Show me, what are you saying? And the Lord gave me like a vision of a huge level, kind of, well, little hilly, big park. Just a huge park with trees, all grass cut, and just this beautiful park. You know, a lot of shade trees. And what he showed me was the Father and the Son walking through this park. And here was Tim following them. Y'all remember Jesus said, you want to be my disciples? Take up your cross and follow me. So I was following him. And I would follow him up until when I quit following him. And I go off on a tangent. And we all do these things, you know. And sometimes it might even be something good, but he didn't necessarily say to do it. But what the Lord showed me in following him is that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to follow him. But sometimes we stop following him and we make our own decisions. We stop maybe serving or prophesying or giving or teaching. Like, oh, somebody else can do that. When we stop following him, God and Jesus stop going forward. I think the whole idea for us as Christians and as churches to enlarge the kingdom of God. I just wanted to share with you a little bit of when you're praying, pray, believing for the kingdom of God to happen in lives. Just and speak those words of blessing. Follow him. He's the one that does it. He just wants to use you. He wants to use you to speak out those blessings, to encourage, to help, to serve, to bless. Let's pray. Father, I give you thanks. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace, for your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercy towards us, Lord, help us to be merciful to all that we come across. Help us to be merciful, to give mercy. And Lord, just continue to grow your kingdom. And we would be a part of seeing your kingdom grow. In Jesus' name, amen.